Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. It's Friday. Okay. It's Friday. It's Friday.
Please let's not remember, guys, that next week Friday is the 13th.
Yay.
I'm clearly saying that because those guys that are married and have girlfriends, obviously your pressure point is that Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, so
I get to avoid people.
Well, I get to play video games. I've come to learn that the best way to get yourself, you know, just a quick couple is just hang around the court. Turns out there are a lot of divorces being signed on a daily basis. So, you know, you could get, you know, a little luck there.
On Friday the
13th. Hang around there. You'll find
bad luck number.
You know, bad luck number. Just hang around there. You'll find yourself someone who is, is most probably looking at a NAMCOL opportunity with regards to marriage. But that's uncalled for. But
a NAMCOL opportunity.
Second opportunity. Look.
Oh my goodness.
Things happen in life, people. You make mistakes. Well, we live, we learn. On today's Home Run, don't worry, I'm not here to give relationship advice. Even if I was qualified to, I would not actually, recommend you take any of my relationship, political or financial advice. Because boy, are they don't work for me either. So don't take any of them. So, today we're going to talk about, artificial intelligence in the academic world, specifically in Namibia, what are Namibian academic institutions doing with regards to the, implementation of AI in, implementation of AI in schools. We know that it's already used, but the policies to basically regulate the use so that, things like intellectual properties are not violated and people don't get into trouble because of plagiarism and stuff like that. And it's actually very easy to find yourself in that kind of trouble because it seems like, the more technology advances, the more people become sort of like anxious in a way that they're always in a hurry. We're always, in a hurry to finish something. And the irony is we invent technology so that we can do things faster, so we can have enough time on our hands to do whatever it is that we want to do for leisure, for example. But the irony is the more technology advances, the more we seem to not have enough time that we, that we anticipated to have with the invention of that technology in the first place. And the thing is, with the use of technology, especially AI, in the world of academics, it's kind of difficult to, it's becoming a little bit difficult to maintain things like intellectual property and intellectual property and copyright. And because when you are, if you are going to use someone's source of information, something and research and development, let me just say, research literature costs a lot, both in financial terms and also in time. It costs a lot. So, it's only reasonable that if you are going to cite someone's work, give them credit. You either have to do it with their permission. Or whether you are doing it with their written permission or not, you have to give them credit.
Yeah. Which is obviously the biggest concern, Helmut, because part of our conversation also for today starts from the article that's in today's The Villager e-paper platform, the one that I wrote, because in preparation for this discussion, obviously, we didn't see much, dear listeners, in terms of what developments have been happening, but in South Africa, the Northwest University claims that they are the first South African university to have a clear-cut, defined AI policy that guides them as an academic institution in terms of how the teaching staff, meaning the lecturers, the students, and other staff around the organization deal, interact, and use AI tools, specifically in day-to-day you know, in their day-to-day events and work-based scenarios. Looking at that policy itself, it's a 9-page document. It's not a long thing. It's not complicated. It's really straightforward and pretty, you know, scopes everything out very nicely.
Yeah.
It helped me, Helmut, to then approach the big three universities. One of them did not respond in time specifically for the article, because I wrote the article while still being on leave, meaning I finished it back on Monday for the Wednesday publication, but it came out obviously up today. So the two universities of NUST and UNAM so far are covered in that article. I sent the questions to all three of the big three. The big three universities of Namibia, which included IUM as well. So on that particular talking point, the two responses that I got so far is that, because it features into our discussion also for today,
yeah,
is where are we on this? Where are our academic institutions
Each of them as an academic institution, yeah, with regards to the implementation of AI policy.
Exactly. Because these institutions, we also have to remember, Helmut, are tasked with playing their part in delivering economic development,
yeah,
in Namibia. So on that notion, the question obviously arises, we have similar institutions. Do they have AI policies? The automatic questions that you can then ask from that is, how would they utilize these particular tools, these AI tools? What capacity would they use them in? How would they go about specifically policing and regulating plagiarism, activities of plagiarism?
Yeah.
Activities.
Which is very easy.
Activities copyright theft, activities of, other particular sort of like fraudulent activities that we all know that we as students committed when we on our time. I'm not saying that I am giving myself away. But you know what? I took my knocks, you know. If I failed a thing, I failed a thing. So I'm just stopping there. But I have seen other colleagues, classmates, literally go above and beyond the scope of duty that was requested of them.
It doesn't actually say don't use AI, but at least double check your reference.
Well, here's the thing, Helmut.
Because most of the reference that, you know, AI is going to spit out are most likely going to be made up.
I know you probably walked into or you interacted with that new tool that they've now got at universities, Turnitin. Have you ever heard of Turnitin?
No.
Okay, now Turnitin popped up for the first time that I saw it was in 2019.
Yeah.
But the years before that, I didn't hear about this particular tool because the lecturers kept threatening us, obviously, in the classrooms by saying, listen, I can see when who has copied from who. Who sat next to who, mm-hmm, while you guys were writing the same sentence or typing the same sentence or writing from the same script. And, sometimes you would go and think, but do people really not listen and see that you've got to paraphrase your stuff?
Yeah.
Change the alignment of the words. Use different words from the original text.
Basically, interpret it in
your words.
Thank you.
You read something else.
Apply critical thinking.
Or there's no crime by working together to solve the same issue.
Yeah.
There's no crime against that. But when you write down the answer, make sure your words do not sound exactly the same like the other guy.
Yeah.
Or the person that sat with you while you guys were
all the commas and full stops are all in the same
on place. The same spots, same sentence, same tone, even. So, I've seen such instances, obviously. So I know that there are Namibians of that capability that would literally sit next to each other and literally would write each other's words exactly the same. I know that. However,
You know what you just touched on.
A
lot of assignment activities right now, especially for a lot of people that are in high institutions,
yeah,
is outsourced to, there are people that literally offer the service of completing, academic
and
activities.
And they even
like
advertise it on WhatsApp.
Thank you. So,
you can do your assignments for, I'm like, oh my
God. We can do your assignments for you. And I think I know about 5 people that basically do that.
And do you know what's the worst part, Helmut? the person do it, the person paying for that money,
yeah,
is technically wasting their money double, because you have to pay off what's the thing's name? Tuition fee.
Yeah,
for the semester
and the private.
And now you're paying this guy to do your assignment, so you're wasting your money being on university. Basically, the person is wasting their money.
So now
just do the time. Just go struggle in class. Just go deal with assignments and stuff. I know. It beats us. It goes beyond belief. I
look,
know.
If there's one thing that I'm never doing,
is paying someone else.
Even if it was for free, I have trust issues when it comes to my academic weeks.
Mm.
I'm doing it myself.
Yeah.
Because there's a specific way that I want it to come out. Now, the thing is, I feel like, a lot of people, and this is very common for students, a lot of people like to scramble to get things done when the due date is like 2-3 days.
Mm.
Yeah. This is when, as you can imagine, these people that are doing this assignment, these assignments that are offering that as a service, they are bombarded with calls and this just came in, I'll pay extra and all that. What do you think they're going to do? Okay, please send it over.
Yeah.
And there are five of you.
Writing from the same script.
Yeah, exactly. From the same script. What do you think they're going to do? It's just, instead of just modifying it here and there so that it looks different, I think I would just copy and paste, just change the names and then send it to all of you three different people. And you don't know each other. But you know who is going to find the pattern? The lecturer.
It's not just that, Hamoud. Remember the tool that I mentioned, Turnitin?
Yeah.
So Turnitin popped up here in 2019, and I had to finish something between 2019 and 2017. I skipped between the studies that I finished for my second qualification, and I come back in 2019 to finish this one subject. The subject's name is Contemporary Issues.
Yeah.
You show up in that subject, and the lecturer is telling us about Turnitin. I go use this particular mechanism because, obviously, as you know, what happens on institutions now, they give you group assignments.
Yeah.
Those of us that don't like group assignments, because
I don't like group assignments either.
We continuously bump into the same characters who don't want to work.
Yeah.
And then you are left doing the work. So on the first assignment, because I was unanimously chosen as group leader. I don't know why. So I asked, listen, guys, just go and each one takes a question or part of the question.
Yeah.
Go and research for knowledge and information, and you just send it to me. You can just WhatsApp it to me. I did not know that my colleagues would just go and copy and paste, Hamoud, and just send it to me. And then.
So now you have to play editor.
I did not know. I did not know this is what they did. So my editing was technically then just putting it into the format of the answer sheet.
Yeah, yeah? In the order of the questions.
In the order of the questions. I submitted into Turnitin. Turnitin tells me 95% plagiarism. My colleagues, my classmates didn't tell me that they literally copied the content as is and sent it to me as is. They didn't tell me. Then I had to retype. Then I had to ask for an extension into the next day, so that I can retype the whole assignment from the get. Because I thought this was their original words, their original texts, their original interpretations as classmates. Because my part was as I interpreted the work.
Yeah.
And then I just literally had to rewrite everything. Then I got to understand what these tools are doing, and how prevalent.
So you just type in the question in ChatGPT, DeepSeek, whatsoever. Whatever response that comes out, you just copy that and paste it, and then off to Dwight it goes.
Basically. But remember, that was without the AI. This was people just blindly Google searching.
Copying it from websites.
Yeah, from Google search. The first option that gave them the best sounding answer, they just highlight, right-click, copy, open up the document, right-click, paste and send.
Well, at least they can right click.
I didn't know that the person did that because I just asked them, guys, please submit your stuff so that I can finish with the submission. You get to turn it in. Now, turn it in is a tool, an online tool.
Yeah.
You must be registered with the university because it asks you for your student number or your institute. So it'll obviously know. So it is associated to the institute that I studied at, which is NUST. And you submit the document, the text document. Then it runs your whole responses through databases attached to it. So think of Turnitin as an AI tool, which it technically is. It's an AI search engine or a search engine that has an AI function to it. It runs it through all databases of known printed literature, known research websites, known institutions with their own websites, and known other protected copyright work.
Yeah.
Runs it through those whole databases. And then you get a score 96%.
Of plagiarism.
96% of plagiarism, Mahmoud. Do you know how bad that feels? To see that thing, 96%.
In other words, you didn't do the assignment.
Basically, you just copy and paste it.
Yeah. The individual whose works you copied are the ones that did your assignment for. There's something that my English teacher liked to say. Now, this was in the 10th grade, being in high school.
Yeah.
At one point he gave us a newspaper article, sort of like, we'll just have to read through and write that story, rewrite the article from our point of view, from our understanding. Basically, you are asking, there are certain things that you are agreeing with, there are certain things that you are disagreeing with, constructive thinking and reading and comprehension.
Yeah.
What you are reading, do you understand it? And if you understand it, can you put it in your own words?
Yeah.
And we submitted our books. The next day he was like, guys, if I wanted to make a newspaper, I would not have given it to you to rewrite it. I would have just made a copy relative to your number, so to how many of you guys are in the class, and then I would have just marked that one. Because right now, what I'm looking at in your books, you guys just copied it word for word as it is in the as it is in the article.
Mm.
That's how it's appearing in your book. What I want to see is, I know you are copying. I gave you the article.
Mm.
Yeah. What I want is your interpretation of that article, because it indicates that you can read, comprehend what you are reading, and build constructive thoughts based on that very same topic. Turns out, no. A lot of us can't. Throw in AI and we have a disaster on our hands.
And remember, that thing that you mentioned,
that
specific issue, and the issue that I now mentioned, they're not issues that just happen in our year. They've happened to so many students across Namibia and across the world. You do get classmates that want to cut corners. There's another one I remember from a previous classmate from my first qualification, the marketing qualification. On D-Day of submitting the assignment, homeboy runs up to me and says, Dwight, can you give me your assignment? I just want to copy. I told him, no, dude. How are you going to copy? Because the assignment basically was, this was year two of marketing. Design an organogram. You know, the organizational diagram of an organization.
Organizational structure.
Yeah. But this is now a company and you've got to illustrate the functions of the departments.
Yeah.
Because in marketing, you hear about the sales strategy, the sales philosophy, the marketing philosophy, and the production philosophy. Now you've got to show who's production, who's sales, who's marketing, who's CEO, who's what, who's where. And what are these? And you've got to interpret, you've got to outline what these functions do. Guy comes, now you have to make up a company name.
It's a completely fictional. So everything from the scratch.
Everything from scratch. Homeboy runs up to me and says, Dwight, can I copy your assignment? So he would have now gone and copied my company name.
Oh, man.
That I had in the assignment. You know what's the worst part also, Helmut, of that kind of request? And students, I know, there are young people listening now to us. Do you know what's the worst part even?
Yeah.
You would then be called to the lecturer's office, you and the other guy. And now you should see the argument that erupts in that office. Who had the idea originally first?
So
now you need to have timestamps of who printed this work first.
So the guy who helped copy your work is now claiming
he's the original owner.
He's
of the
original.
Work.
Oh man, that's gonna piss you off.
No, it's because it's bad. It's severe. So the questions that I obviously asked in the questions I submitted to the three universities, with the two of them responding, was how will this help with plagiarism?
Yeah.
And also with IP and copyrighted work, because the biggest concern, which when I read what the Northwest University did, was Northwest, yes, they spoke about advancing education delivery.
Yeah.
But at the bedrock, I was waiting for combating plagiarism, combating copyright and intellectual property theft or fraud. Primarily because a lot of this takes place on universities. I mean, the biggest well-known example of copyright theft or intellectual property theft is Mark Zuckerberg. He's the biggest example of IP theft.
With Meta?
Huh?
With Meta?
With the idea for Facebook. Remember the Winklevoss twins?
He stole it from them.
Do you know that it's his money, the money of Meta, that's making them rich? They don't have to work.
Thanks to intellectual property.
Because they could prove in a court. It was them. And the third, if you ever look at Meta's Wikipedia page, the other two founders of Facebook, the guy that gave the algorithm solution. If you ever watch the movie Social Network, there's a guy that Zuckerberg bumped into, another student, the guy that's played by Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man. If you remember the current Spider-Man.
Tom Holland is playing Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man before Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield. When Andrew Garfield's character shows up, they show up at another student's room, and Garfield's character then gives him the algorithm solution that can make or break the Facebook social media concept.
Yeah.
It gives him that algorithm, and then they go to court because basically that guy, when Facebook obviously was formed with all that investment capital and all that investment money, the Winklevoss twins showed up with their court case. That guy that gave the algorithm showed up with his court case. Ooh. So that guy has to be named, and he gets paid. And then there was the other guy that helped with the groundwork, because there are three, Zuckerberg and two other guys. Those guys have to be mentioned as co-founders right next to Zuckerberg. Even though Zuckerberg is the face of the company, they have to get recognition and still get their royalties per year.
That's how serious it is.
Plus the Winklevoss twins. Because they did this at Harvard. They used Harvard's resources. And if you don't know as a student on university, whatever you create on a university with the resources at that university, of that university, it is the property of the university.
Yeah.
So anything intellectual, anything copyright that can have possible copyright protection would be the ownership of the university. Because the university puts resources at your disposal for you to create and achieve things. And you utilize them. You sign that indemnity form. That recognition or acceptance form. That you acknowledge that you waiver any rights and claims to anything that you create and develop at the university. You'll find it at any of the universities.
Makes studying abroad a little pointless
because you do this. And that was the discussion we remember about the research, the research and development report that NCRST developed.
Yeah.
Where the CEO of NCRST, Peters said, that's why the students that we send as Namibians here on grants to whichever country, the research stays there.
Yeah.
The research doesn't come back with that student with their advanced degree. This research stays there. The knowledge stays there. The student comes back.
Now, for us to use that knowledge, you will have to ask their permission because it's their intellectual property.
And it's knowledge about us, Namibians. That's the worst part, Helmut. Now, here's the worst part also. That student then cannot replicate that same knowledge.
Their own work.
Their own work with their name on it from that other universe. They can't replicate the work because then it becomes what? It looks like theft.
Yep.
Clear theft. So even if they try to reword it or do it, no.
Nope.
So there was one particular scenario to show, just to give you an example of that. The brother after me, he studied industrial psychology at UNAM, and they did a group assignment specifically for their final year research, for their research thesis. And the research that they generated for the university, for that department, for that faculty, was supposedly, according to him, I'm using my brother's reference, according to him, was so good that universities from Germany and Europe were calling him and the other group members on their phones.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, I don't know why they didn't work through the lecturers and the department of the university, because the work belongs to the university.
Yeah.
You don't call the person who conducted the research first. Because that person did it to achieve an academic level, to be trained, be qualified, to be skilled, and they submit all, they hand over all work that they've done to the institution. So it actually shows that we need to take this discussion seriously. We've not deviated, dear listeners, from the AI talk, because on the discussion of intellectual property, copyright protection, it is a serious issue, because you will have school kids copying each other's work in class. And then the teacher, like Helmut now explained, literally sees if there are 35 kids in the class, 35 similar work, which is a serious issue, because literally it shows
critical
that no one
out through the window.
Yeah, no one is applying critical thinking, and critical thinking is important. But you can also factor that in with something else, Hamut, specifically that we might have people in this country that don't read enough. People need to read.
That's where I was.
People need to read. I'm really sorry. I mean, even today, I still read the reports. You remember the reports that I also sent you?
Yeah.
I still read the reports. I still read things. Even if I go on leave, like the 2-week leave that I had just now recently, I still read things, because you still need to stimulate your mind with new content and with new ideas as well.
Reading and critical thinking are intertwined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reading and critical thinking are intertwined in a way that if you are able to read and you are able to, you are not reading for flex, assuming you can even read for flex.
What is reading for flex?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Just to sound bourgeoisie. The guys at Science Direct actually conducted a whole research on that, where they pointed out that they produced an article an article back in 2012. That was titled "The Relationship Between Reading Comprehension and Critical Thinking." And this is a theoretical study. One thing they pointed out was that in recent years, the field of research and reading comprehension and critical thinking has received much attention and become popular area in cognitive psychology. So, reading for comprehension is very important. If you are able to comprehend what you are reading, then it sets you apart more than you think from a lot of people around the world. But before you get to critical thinking, it must start from reading. Now, the statistics of reading have dropped significantly around the world. And that's mostly, especially among the youth. That one thing that was pointed out was that, have you noticed that, I'm not sure if it's a social media thing, but, it's really screwing with our attention span.
No, it is.
People can't even read a 3-sentence comment, anymore. They just want, something that's straight and, short and straight to the point. So, which is why, and the terrible thing is, we are producing content that's why if you look at things like the ethical use of social media, for example, if you have a community that is not reading and therefore very short on comprehension and critical thinking, the ethical use of social media is going to be one challenging accomplishment to pull off, because a lot of people are just a lot of social media wars start from people watching, a 1 minute video. They just watch 12, 13 seconds out of it. Then they start commenting without getting to the context of what the creator was talking about. So now you have a lot of misunderstanding. And because of, the lack of accountability, because it's very easy to evade accountability on social media, then you can just start now the war that your social media war that's going on between Nigeria and Namibia right now.
On Twitter, I suspect.
Where else would it be?
On X, of all places. Where Gen Z hotspot for no reason.
Yeah, where some Namibians have been crazy enough to start calling, they have renamed Nigeria to Abegistan.
Oh my goodness. Is this because of that other situation, because of iShowSpeed that showed up here? Where the lady told the other commentator, please, we are a stable country. Please, at least we know how to speak English.
Yeah, look, critical thinking is going to be very important in day-to-day communication.
Yeah.
So, now, we communicate on a daily basis. And, especially in the world of, economic and political discussions, political as in policy discussions, critical thinking is very central. Otherwise, then we'll just arguing. We'll just be debating for the sake of, just for the heck of it. Now back to the science, the science direct guy, because there's something I would like to point out here. They point out that modern cognitivists, like those ones that are advocates of cognitive psychology, have developed new trends and theories that provide theoretical models for explaining and conceptualizing reading comprehension by utilizing a set of related concepts such as critical thinking, prior knowledge, inference making, and metacognitive skills. What they are pointing at here is that there's also a term known as a schema theory. Now, that schema theory explains how knowledge is structured in a memory, which starts from reading.
Yeah.
When you are reading, sort of like you are compiling, more like laying Lego sets in very perfect formation that you can easily access when you need it. So, schema being a theory of knowledge schema theory explains how knowledge is structured in memory and how these structures affect incoming information, and indicating that schema theory explains how people's existing knowledge affects comprehension. It's very easy for you to be drawn to books, for example, that that contains knowledge that you are familiar with before. I like if you are a nerd, geek, or whatever it is that you want to call yourself, and you like these superhero movies, and you see a comic book, you will run towards it. But if you see, take for example, a romance novel, you'll be like, not mine. Yeah. But those people that are interested in that will basically be drawn to that. So when you are reading, you are basically piling up information in your head. It builds like a pool of your general knowledge, which makes it very easy for you to engage in conversations that requires critical thinking, like policies being one of them.
Yeah.
Which is why, these days when you talk about, when you talk policies with people, they just go straight to snoring. Ask someone.
Firstly, they'll ask you, what is the policy?
Now I have to start from defining what policies.
True.
So then we now because of the, because of that, I think the laziness behind that, we one of the most common excuses you more often hear is, I'm not really into politics.
And then you even have to tell them, but it's actually that a situation of politics is around you every day,
whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not, even happens in your church, even happens in your kindergarten.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, getting back from that point that you highlighted about the cognitive and the ability of critical thinking and critical reading.
Yeah. Reading is central to critical thinking. The less people will read, the less critical thinking there is going to be. The more unethical use of social media, because people will just be going straight to,
At least I understand why China at the end of last year went and said, if you're going to call yourself a social media influencer, you must at least have a degree or be an expert in the field of whatever you're talking about to influence a society. Because it helps to explain that, Ahmed. Because it actually forces people now to go and find an actual job instead of probably ending up being a scammer.
Can I tell you why I totally agree with China on this one?
Yeah. No, now I understand why. I understand now why. Specifically because of this.
I have a short story for you. 2019, a shop called, a clothing store in the US known as Pelosi. You know, it's a budget friendly type of, retail store. So it's tailored for what you'd call low income earners. So they produce very budget friendly clothes, most of which are shoes. So what they did was, back in 2019, they said this is a store that goes back to the 1950s.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
So back in 2019, they decided, it's actually a fashion experiment, I think, that they did, if you can call it that. What they did was I'm not sure if they built or they just claimed to have bought a building. Then they said, you know what, this store that we have here is a budget-friendly one. Yeah. The one that we are going to open there is for high-end products. What happened was they took the very same products, especially shoes, from their budget shop to the grand opening of their quote-unquote high-end store. Influencers, fashion influencers showed up. Guess what they said? You can see that this is genuine leather from, and they were saying that on camera. You can just see that this is high quality, top notch. At the end of the event, you should
steal the president's the words, net top notch.
It's already on my TikTok. all these influencers, fashion influencers that were invited to this grand opening, they all fell for.
Which was the sales gimmick.
Fell for that gimmick. Thank you. They fell for that. And they were all going like, now this is high quality shoes. I mean, I would rock this one. I mean, I would buy this one. Then the host of the event at the end of the day told them, those are the same products we sold from our budget store. Yeah, you should see the eyes. I mean, it's on YouTube. You can just watch.
As long as the clients show up, which is also the same. Okay, now that same example.
Yeah.
Partnering it up with the discussion about wine, whether more expensive wine tastes better than cheap wine. Let's use the word cheap for now, meaning budget-priced wine. Do you know that an experiment has been used so many times
on wine
and its pricing?
Yeah.
That if you are someone that regularly drinks wine,
you would
know that an expensive bottle of wine does not taste better than
just regular wine.
It's not even a regular wine. It doesn't come close to the taste buds, the comfort of drinking a cheap bottle of wine. And that the cheap bottle of wine always sells the quickest.
So it's just the placebo effect.
Which is one of the experiments they always use, like that one specifically also that you pointed out, because it sounded very familiar to that experiment.
The one for wine.
Yeah, but when we come to what this AI policy discussion always points to is, We know since last year's discussion where you and I had the AI readiness report dissection, where it said there are certain fundamental things that need to be qualified and satisfied in the country. This means access to internet. This means improvement of policies, improvement of legislation, because we still need and I still don't see. Do you know what's the worst part, Ahmed? Before I came back this week. So, obviously coinciding, with this week was the opening of parliament by the president.
Yeah. Both by and then on and Monday, cabinet.
And then on Monday, when the opening of cabinet happened and the other fiasco with the journalist situation happened, the parliament guys put on the group, the WhatsApp group, where we the media are with them, because they update us through there for any documents that were disseminated in parliamentary sessions. They put up documents there about this is what will be expected for tomorrow's parliament opening, and these are the bills that are still to be dissected. Mm-hmm. None of them were the cybersecurity bill, and none of them were the data protection bill.
So
this AI discussion would once again be put at the back burner, because do you know what's the lovely thing of this Northwest University from South Africa that I saw? The page two, the motivation of what this policy is based on, literally states and starts with the Constitution of South Africa.
So we're doing it the other way around.
Helmut, we don't have anything as Namibia.
Oh yeah, I know that. And it was it's one of those things that was also emphasized during last year's air readiness report.
Yeah. We don't have a leg to stand on in this country because, yes, the two universities told me straightforward.
They're working on policies.
They're working on their own policies. It's in the pipeline. The question I asked about plagiarism and combating plagiarism and copyright and IP theft, how would that be worked? It's based on existing IP. It's based on existing internal policies of, that look at those particular instances. Mm-hmm. I tried to look for the plagiarism and IP theft and copyright protection policy of NUST, because it was referenced in the response there. All I could find was the strategy booklet for 2020 from 2020 to 2025 that spoke about, you know, how to leverage IP and intellectual property for the improvement and to literally generate more intellectual property. Protections of the works, it's about a sliver of a sentence that I got there. That's how thin it was. So in Namibia, I'd like to say we are baked, or we are partially cooked, being cooked still, because we need to move with the times. The people that you and I just now referenced, meaning the students or the Namibians that are going to university who don't want to read, who don't want to critically think or apply themselves when they're asked for participation in the classroom, those guys are going to be the future leaders. They're going to be your future accountants.
Yeah.
They're going to be your doctors. They're going to be engineers. And then what will you do when you see the guy opening up ChatGPT to ask ChatGPT, what is a S-curve bend driveway? I mean, the thing makes an S.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's known as an S-curved driveway to your house. What will you do then? If your building contractor opens up ChatGPT to interpret what you are saying, but you're standing in front of the person.
Your loved one is in surgery and doctor is like, just give me a moment.
And the doctor has to look up, how do I cut on a woman?
Doctor, no offense, but can we have another doctor, please?
You were supposed to know this, doctor. What are you doing here? Or the doctor is being told, your loved one, the pregnant lady needs a cesarean. And the doctor has to go and ChatGPT. What is a cesarean? It's a medical procedure so old, it was literally named after Julius Caesar. It's a Roman medical procedure that we're still using till
Hang on a second. The C in C-section is Caesar?
Yeah, cesarean. They call it cesarean section. It's a Roman medical method of rescuing the mother and the baby.
I don't think they thought that through. How did Caesar die? Which is why I'm saying I don't think they thought that through.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of knives involved. So, yeah.
I know.
But when you look at this Northwest University policy, Helmut, it literally starts off from the get-go with, and it's short sentences.
Yeah.
Sticks to the point. it's not four pages of protocol observed situations. Mm-hmm. It literally says interpretation application. This policy must be interpreted and applied in the manner consistent with the Constitution of South Africa, the Higher Education Act of South Africa, the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act of South Africa, the Electronic Communication and Transactions Act of South Africa, the Protection of Personal Information Act of South Africa, the Copyright Act of South Africa, the Post-School Education and Training Information Policy of the Department of Higher Education of South Africa, the King IV Report on Corporate Governance, a report, it has to comply with a report on corporate governance of South Africa, and it has to comply with the statutes of the Northwest University. And then comes the other smaller, you know, sort of like compliance measures like codes, standards, and frameworks and policies of the university and its relevant departments that will look at AI adoption in the university. Yeah. I mean, I've never read a clear-cut policy as clear-cut as that before. In Namibia, when I read policies and policy frameworks that developed, it always starts from, this is the situation they're describing to you, but then they don't say with what the policy has to be in line with in many cases.
Okay, what you have here is, if you go back to the time when people were transitioning from using abacus and their fingers to count to a calculator.
Yeah, but that was a couple of thousand years back, but okay, yeah.
I know. Yeah, to a calculator. You can imagine they had the same type of, discussion, like, how can we adopt this in a way that's productive? Mm. It's important, I think, to understand that, the power is going to, tools are going to run out at some point.
Yeah,
tools are going to be, it's either the tools are not really run out, but they are going to have a few faulties. Yeah. And you have to go back to the basics.
Yeah.
So it's always important to have the basics, even though you are assisted by machines. But from the look of things, a lot of us now are more focused on letting the machine do everything.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of us these days, if you just switched off the internet for 24 hours, a lot of trouble would emanate from that. As in 90% of the things
we'll have a new government the next day because of internet.
Yeah, well, because the one that stays is still going. I mean, it's in my phone somewhere, but it's dead. I would explain it to you. But I have it on my phone. But in other words, I never read it to understand it.
We'll have a new government. Don't talk. Internet is now so integral today.
Yeah.
People basically can't live without the thing.
Look, the legislations, when it comes to everything that's, let me just say, in the digital sphere, we are underestimating just how important policies are.
Yeah.
We're underestimating how important policies are, which is why I think we are always making it an afterthought. And last year, during our AI readiness assessment, when the report came out, one thing that was pointed out by Dr. Simeon Hamkoshi of NCRST was that Namibia's readiness to adopt and govern AI, including improved connectivity and the integration of AI ethics into university curricula. Now it keeps going straight to academic.
Yeah.
Now into university curricula and growing recognition of AI as a driver of economic growth. Well, we are basically looking at that direction of applying technology pretty much AI from academic to, especially now with academics being like the doorway that we want to apply it through. Because, policy, research and development and all these things are heavily influenced by academia.
Mm.
Now, however, he cautioned that challenges persist, such as the absence of a formal AI regulatory framework the need to finalize the data protection bill, limited electricity access in a rural area, gaps in AI related skills, you know, that ChatGPT copy paste. Yeah. If you're a student and you don't know how to edit and reference what you are getting from ChatGPT, you are the one that Dr. Hamukoshi is talking about here, that gaps in AI related skills and shortage of AI training data in indigenous languages. Let's not even go there.
Yeah, it's going to be a headache. Do you know what's the worst part of the referencing?
Yeah.
Now the institute that the student studies at uses a specific referencing style or style guide.
It also depends on what field of study you're doing.
So
because we use Oxford,
my
footnoting,
my alma mater, which is NAS, uses the whole institution uses APA, the American Psychology Association.
So that's the one that you embed your reference in the paragraphs.
In every paragraph, so that the idea you're not just pulling things out of your throat or out of the side of your neck. You have to show your logical thought process with references being embedded in every sentence and every paragraph. And so you make your argument as you go, obviously through your analysis, in terms of the particular report or whatever assignment you're doing. And, okay, firstly, there is a big disconnect I've seen specifically between high school and university first year is primarily when learners become students to first year university in Namibia, as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, Helmut, you're just fresh out of high school. Now you've got to know what APA referencing is.
Yeah. Oh no! Before
you weren't taught this on high school.
Before you even go there, Dwight. What's painful I discovered back in 2021, as early as 2021, is that because a lot of, especially public schools, don't have computers at school. A lot of students coming from these schools have to figure out how to use Microsoft Office.
Worst of everything as well. The thing that I use every day is the whole Google suite of applications. I don't need to use Microsoft Office suite. I still remember one of our interns here that left when he also became full-time, Rudolf. You remember Rudolf?
Yeah.
Rudolf literally had to struggle with Microsoft Word. Word is now such a headache of an application, Helmut, because everything is now, you must have the subscription service situation where you, all your work no longer gets stored onto the machine. It gets stored into that whatever definition of cloud that Microsoft wants to sell you as a whole bunch of baloney. It's because it's just them moving your work from your PC to their server. That's it. It's the same hardware.
Yeah.
So I always sat there thinking it would be easy for him to have like a database of his work that he had done and his scripts that he wrote here for his programs here with us at Eagle FM if he did not use Microsoft Word.
Like,
but our whole training is Microsoft Word at university.
Year one at pretty much every school I went to is year one. You have a lot of introductory courses. One of them is being introduction to computer or computer literacy.
Mm.
What you are basically doing in computer literacy is how to unfortunately turn on and off a computer.
I know I would.
And now you have to understand you're at the university.
Yeah.
One guy in my class, we were just doing basic drafting a document, open a document, you know, create a folder, rename it. I was sitting there wondering just why the heck are we doing this at tertiary? Because I've been doing that since grade 8. I had no idea how privileged I was at the school that I went to that basically offered that as early as 8th grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're sitting in the class and then someone sitting next to me, and it's not their fault. They were just not exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, they're drafting a document and now, bro just want to go straight to shortcuts because, I've been doing it since 2008. So the right click and all those things, I don't do that. I just like control, control P well, control A, we highlight all of it, control C, copy, control V, paste, control D, delete, and all that. Homeboy, instead of controlling S to save that he wanted to do, the guy sitting next to him was telling him to control D. I'm like, dude, don't. Everyone in the class is laughing because he was about to control D, his work.
Which is delete.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. At least if he said control X, which is cut, you cut the work.
He would have freaked out. Where's my work? Just relax.
Yeah, just press control V.
Like, look, the exposure here then becomes very important. Now, when you come from the high, when you come from high institution, when we come from secondary, at a school that doesn't have, you know, as much as a laptop. And now that's one heck of a transition because you are transitioning from using strictly pen and paper to
now having to look for electronic.
To using Moodle.
And not just Moodle. Now you have to look for Wi-Fi, hotspots, functioning
email,
computer connection.
That ShopRite, our low price promises to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 6x1 liter Right Brand Long Life Full Cream Milk, only $119.99 per pack, and 5 kg Rice King Long Grain Parboiled Rice for just $89.99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 8 February 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always. At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 6x1 liter Right Brand Long Life Full Cream Milk, only $119.99 per pack, and 5 kg Rice King Long Grain Parboiled Rice for just $89.99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 8 February 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
Welcome back. This is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and today's discussion is based on AI in academics, and that's in Namibia. And well, the implementation of AI in Namibia itself, we saw that from AI readiness assessment report that was made available last year, that we have a lot of things to basically put in place, especially with regards to policy regulating the platforms that we want to implement or that we want to, you know, to officially, at least officially roll out, because they're already running. It's just that the regulations is something that we still have, haven't figured out yet.
And bring up to speed.
We have to bring up to speed with the, with the application, because the application is already there. And the high institutions like UNAM and NUST, on the other hand, they are already working in their own internal policies of of similar nature. That's the application of AI, so that it can be applied and used ethically in a way that it doesn't put the students that's using it in play in trouble, or the lectures, because if you are just copying and pasting as a teacher, you are going to pass on the wrong information and then find yourself in a hot soup that Deloitte found themselves earlier this year. That 1 month, now this from the BBC, 1 month since Australia said, right here. It's on their website. Business Insider. Deloitte is giving Australian government a partial refund after it used AI to deliver a report with errors. So.
Oh, I remember that.
The thing is, the AI was, the use of AI is not a bad thing itself. It's the referencing that's the problem, because that was also the problem here. The Australian government contracted Deloitte to basically do a job, which they did, I think, from the look of things, with an extensive use of AI without double checking it, because one of the references that AI provided in the reference as to where that knowledge in that body of works came from, one of the lady was, I'm not sure if it was a lady or a woman. She's also, a professor. at one of the universities in Australia. What happened was she was given credit based on the book that she supposedly wrote. And she came back and said, I've never written a book of that title, but it appeared in the report. But there was like, no, there is no such a book. Now, when the person you are referencing is telling you that, no, I didn't do that, that's terrible for the reputation of your institution.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, the media picked it up and went bananas with it.
Yeah.
Now, as a high institution, if you are going to adopt things like, you know, if you are going to adopt AI, and you, like you just pointed out earlier on, Dwight, that take, for example, a research works that a student is doing, becomes intellectual property of the institution that, you know, whose resources are being used. So you don't want to have, intellectual property, you don't want to have intellectual property to, to works that are poorly referenced.
Or you have a student who can barely speak English showing up there with Shakespearean literature. And then the lecturer asks him, did you put this thing through Turnitin?
No, I was in a hurry.
Yeah, I just quickly pulled something there from the internet. And when the lecturer puts it through Turnitin, it says 120% definitely plagiarized. I've seen such headaches.
120%?
Look, you have to be dramatic, you know. You have to do this for the drama. But yeah, I've seen this as well. And it shocks you in many scenarios. But yeah.
Yeah. The use of AI is not the problem. Is using it in a way that you are not, you are not putting yourself in trouble with, with the original owners of the works that you are using to complete yours. Because believe me, they're going to come.
Yep. And then they're going to ask you, please pay us.
Yeah.
And if you say, no, it's my work, then they're going to ask you, but I can prove it's my work.
It's right here.
So just be careful, guys. If you think you can steal other people's work, just know that.
Yeah. But before we continue, let's take a live read. The Rhodes Contractor Company Limited hereby invites interested, competent, suitable, and qualified service providers to participate in the following procurement opportunity. Description, a call for registration for 2026-2027 financial year. Namibian-owned service providers in roads construction, maintenance, and building sector. Closing date, Friday 6 March 2026 at 12 o'clock p.m. Interested companies must submit all documents via the RCC portal at www.rcctalents.com. Description, expression of interest, procurement of a project planning and implementation consulting firm. Closing date, Friday 6 March 2026 at 10 o'clock a.m. Description, expression of interest, again, provision of appointing a construction technical partner for Rhodes Contractor Company RCC. Closing date, Friday 6 March 2026 at 11 o'clock a.m. Bid documents are available as from 28 January 2026 on e-government portal at www.egp1.gov.na and our website at www.rcc.com.na. And be all interested eligible bidders must download the bid documents on the provided websites. Documents are not at RCC office and cannot be emailed. For inquiries, contact Mr. Amon Shangano at email at amon.shangano@rcc.com.na or call 061-297-9000. Closing date, 6 March 2026. Tenders available, buddies. Tenders available. Quickly run to BIPA, register the company and apply.
Get to your nearest bank.
Yeah. The paperwork. Okay, yeah. But there are service providers that will basically help you with all that. For a fee, of course.
No. ChatGPT service providers, guys. Make sure. Just make sure about that.
How to construct a road, ChatGPT.
Or how to pick a plum, ChatGPT it.
Now, a lot of countries now, a lot of countries, this is something that I'm not seeing in Africa, although they just had, a little rumors coming out of East Africa in countries like Kenya. But since Australia last year banned, social media for teens, I think, under 16,
yeah,
a lot of Scandinavians basically, like Denmark, started talking about the ban of social media, the ban of use of social media for teenagers under, I think it was about 15 years of age. The latest one in that ban, in implementation, I know that the Scandinavian countries were just talking about it. I'm not sure if they implemented it. Spain is the one that actually decided to, to implement this, when was the third?
This week?
Yeah.
Monday.
This week.
Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. Spain becomes first country in Europe to ban social media for under 16. Now, the interesting thing is, this social media has been known to be very addictive. And it's one of those things that's basically taking up a lot of time in our daily lives. Now, it's one of those reasons, from the look of things, that will not just give you time to, literally pick a book. This year's National Literary Festival, the theme was read a book.
Is it this year or last year's one in Namibia? The one that you went to last
year? Yeah, the one that I went to last year.
Yeah,
I remember
the theme, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the literary. Yeah. The only one was able to...
It was an interesting theme that they chose there, but yeah.
My homies were all going literally. I was like, relax, don't worry, I got this. That's why we are homies.
Don't say anything else.
You guys are going to kill me after this.
Yeah, I'm with it. It's your friends, not my friends.
I know, right? I'm not sure if this is going to improve the reading culture because, all roads when it comes to this whole critical thinking idea, it takes us back to reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether you are reading, whether you're reading a hard copy book or you're just reading a PDF version, bottom line is reading is slowly becoming a lost art. Because of that, it's going to be, the more that becomes a lost art, the more it's going to be difficult to have constructive, to have constructive discussions with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everything is going to be boiling down to emotions.
And who best can control those emotions?
There you go.
Yeah.
It's okay for someone to disagree. No one is going to agree with everything you say. They are not robots. They are people.
Mm.
Sometimes when you say something, some people will disagree. And the irony is, I don't want you to disagree with what I'm telling you. But when you say something, I'm the first one to point out. That's not like that. Seriously? No one can disagree with you, but you can disagree with everyone.
Mm.
Do you see the problem? So, the adoption of AI, like every piece of technology, very important, especially in academics. It will, it will help you do your work faster.
Mm.
But please read through and reference, especially the reference.
Look, we still have to know what we're going to do in the economy. Here's the biggest thing, Amud, and this will be a conversation we'll also have later on the home run, is the discussion on the universal basic income grant that the AI guy developers are now championing. Even Elon Musk, Elon Musk that hates poor people, that hates governments, is championing a universal basic income. Because remember when we asked this question 2 years back in 2024?
Yeah.
Who's gonna buy buy the products that the tech companies are making if their AI programs are gonna put us out of jobs?
Yeah, and everyone has lost their income that enables them to afford those products. Yeah.
Who's gonna use their products? So it's a pivotal question. there's another development specifically that popped up from a company that split away from Amazon's AI process, being UPS, the US Postal Service. UPS split away from Amazon, and UPS started making a profit by just breaking away from a private sector private sector service provider for them. Just break away from UPS, from Amazon. It was a weird thing that I looked at.
Yeah.
But Amazon is one of the robotics and AI champions as well. Another tech bro situation, even though it didn't start out as a tech company. Musk's companies obviously are championing their own tech scenarios.
Yeah.
The downside from this will become a conversation of, will the universities themselves be resilient in still staying relevant, Helmut? Because if you are now allowing people through that barely can think critically,
mm-hmm.
what then do you expect for people who need to go function in the economy? What then if that person has to go and function in the economy and the person doesn't want to think critically, they don't want to talk and engage, they don't want to defend a point, they don't want to become emotional about a topic or a subject matter,
mm-hmm.
they don't have a passion for something, they're not illustrating a creativity, everything is, okay, let me go ChatGPT. Now I understand why people can't build computers anymore, because NVIDIA is selling all their graphics technology to these ChatGPT guys. And
especially RAM prices are...
No, it's not the RAM. It first started with the graphics cards. Now it's the RAM prices.
Yeah.
The graphics cards are for generative AI.
Yeah.
I'm writing an article now, literally over the course of this weekend for next week, because I sat through a presentation from Shutterstock. Shutterstock is now going to allow certain kinds of AI production, Helmut, to be licensed. So now if you have a license with an AI model, a generative AI model, and you have a Shutterstock account, you can literally say this AI thing is something I created. And then you, as long as you disclose that you use an AI model to submit it on Shutterstock, because Shutterstock is a platform that pays you for photos and stuff that you take.
Yeah.
It actually began as a platform to help photographers to sell their photographs across the world. You know, if you need a photograph of a tree here in Windhoek, a specific tree, then someone goes and searches on Shutterstock, the agencies, the international media agencies,
yeah.
and then they buy your photo. They buy the rights to have to use your photo. That's what Shutterstock is. We don't have anything like this in Namibia. And I'm not counting Nampa for that matter, because I really don't understand Nampa for that matter. I don't know how do I buy a news article that comes from Al Jazeera and it's there. I'm really sorry. I tried looking at that business model. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, yeah. So if you're really trying to look for illustrations of that, generative AI creates, needs graphics processing, and AMD and Nvidia were selling their graphics cards at record prices to the AI companies. That means, supposedly, because they went and said last year that they don't want to sell any graphics cards to the consumer market. And the consumer market was like, okay, is this how you're going to treat us? Fine. So it has obviously given rise to Intel to start looking like a viable option. But this has been the developments happening in other consumer trends. And this is what the AI guys are doing. So first and foremost, this is how I'd like to describe this one development. Back in 2021, Helmut, after just during the COVID situation, the UK government was discussing the aspect of driverless cars. And the UK government took a very logical step. They just went and said, so if my car must be driverless, why must I buy a car? First and foremost, it would have been a scenario.
Who is driving it?
That's just the thing.
Yeah.
A computer program. You're not steering it. So firstly, you'll ask the question, why must I get a license? And secondly, you'll ask the question, why must I buy petrol for this thing if I don't own it? And then the last question you'll ask is, why then must I buy this thing if I cannot own it, because they were the car companies were positioning, or the tech companies were suggesting.
You can imagine the car companies didn't like that.
They didn't. So the tech companies were suggesting to the car companies an ownerless business model.
That's them giving away their ownership.
No, but they are relying on the subscription platform, the subscription model of things. Helmut, there's a few, if you have a Facebook account, there's a whole bunch of EU accounts that have popped up recently on my feed that are giving, you've heard most of the developments of what the EU is doing.
What's that?
They want to break away from US tech companies.
Yeah.
And they want to promote EU technology for their own use. There's literally a one Facebook post I saw that said, if you want options to Microsoft Word,
here's the alternative.
Here's the European alternatives that it went and listed. So we're already seeing these divisions happening because of AI's development. We're already seeing, and the weird thing is, it's guys like Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a South African with Canadian with American citizenship, who's championing weird developments. And the first thing you've got to ask is, so why must we buy your things if you're trying to firstly negate the ability for other humans to earn money and live on this planet? Because no one made him, no one appointed him as the almighty. I didn't hear God, you know, advertise somewhere in Christianity that he's going on retirement for the past 6,000 years that we've known Christianity to exist for.
Yeah.
You know, he's just been there, and that's even me assuming he's a he. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Now, that brings up, you know, just to wrap it up in the next 10 minutes that we have left. One thing that we are forgetting is that both as a country and also academic institutions, in Namibia, one conversation we're not having is the ownership of this, the ownership of this technology.
Yeah.
And this is not just for Namibia. This is for the whole continent. The ownership of technology is not even in Africa. This is, that means wherever, when you are storing your information, where is it being stored?
Yeah. I mean, Hamid, it's going to be a conversation we're going to have, because this will be once again the pushing factor that comes through.
I'm not sure. This is a song that I think I'm going to sing until someone basically joins the choir. Mm. This, for me, spells serious national security concern.
Mm.
If you are going to take, if you are going to shift everything from hard copy, for example, and then put it, put it in computers, and then those computers just wake up one day and they don't have hard drives anymore. Your only storage you have is the cloud storage, which is basically someone's server.
And your IT guy resigned from you and went with all the license keys.
Yeah.
Or with all the passwords.
Now, this, I mean, now I totally understand what the Secretary General of the UN said when he, meant when he said, we are witnessing, this is on his 2026 press conference, priorities.
Or the one that we did.
Yeah, the one that we did, 2026, priorities for 2026. We are witnessing perhaps the greatest transfer of power of our times, not from governments to people, but from government to private technology companies.
Yeah.
You can make the policy, but the bottom line is the storage of your information is nowhere near you.
Yep.
So in other words, if something goes wrong in Silicon Valley, you are cooked here.
Yep. Now I'm now actually advocating, I'm going to probably advocate for the opposite regarding Namibia's e-governance strategy. Let's not get one.
Let's not get one.
Let's not get one.
Yep. Because the last thing one is legislations regulating Namibia being stored somewhere in Silicon Valley.
And Silicon Valley can switch off the internet for Namibia.
Yep.
No.
One wrong trading dispute or diplomatic dispute, they turn off the switch.
Yep.
And you don't have a government.
Yep.
Or
people can't make payments.
Actually, excellent idea. That whole e-governance thing.
Throw it out of the window.
Let's focus on the cybersecurity bill. Yeah. That part, throw it away.
Yeah. So the biggest concern obviously would also be, Helmut, for example, when we look at the use of technologies as well, because I mentioned the push factor. These tech companies are going to push something to you.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, it's basically what they've done always. They've always pushed things.
Yeah.
So you just,
they know how to make it look enticing.
You just see your WhatsApp supposedly updated. Now
it has an AI.
Now there's a WhatsApp message. They're saying, hey, do more with WhatsApp. And you're like, I didn't ask for this. It works fine as it is. Why must I do more? Who wants to do more? Because the thing is, Helmut, what you're always just going to use this device for is taking a few photos,
make phone calls,
texting with WhatsApp. If there's no internet, you know your backdrop is always sending a basic SMS that you're already paying for, and you're going to make your phone calls. You're not going to be drawing on this phone. You're not going to be, you're just going to be doom scrolling the whole time and making those basic functions.
Yeah.
So, in many scenarios, some cases, the marketing of these technology companies, they overextend themselves. They oversell. And the selling really doesn't resonate in terms of do much of these particular things.
In other words, the more features you have, the more payment you will have to do with regards to those features and the more money. So it's just about maximizing shareholder dividends.
Definitely.
Unfortunately. And
I'm not hearing any Namibian showing up making a smartphone for Namibia. Yes, my dear list, our dear listeners, some of you have referenced that gentleman that made a SIM cardless phone situation. Convinced of these particular developments. Mm-hmm. Because if we had such capabilities, we obviously would have had 5 years back, the opportunity of joining the race. Namibia would have had the opportunity of manufacturing its own mobile phones. Instead of us looking at what happened to Africa trying to manufacture its own mobile phones. Remember the Lion or whatever? What was that phone's name? The guy that came from UAE or Saudi Arabia.
Oh, what's this? They're these ones that were made out of...
And the Rwandan phone.
Yeah, Rwanda. Yeah, Rwanda.
And... I mean, what happened to those projects? So, really, we don't have governments that have money that can say, listen, let's throw money and incentives to a strategic scientific technology program, and the best minds works on this thing.
Yeah. You know, I think by trying to skip research and development, that's where we are failing.
True. That too. Yeah. That too. Because we obviously have to research. You first have to take this Samsung that's in my hand.
Yeah.
You have to go and take this thing apart and see how it functions.
What did Transsion do? They looked at the market and they were like, okay, now everyone is avoiding this market because, well, they don't have the average income required to afford their handsets. Mm. So what we're going to do is we'll make a handset that is tailored specifically to the average income earner in that environment. Mm. And they made a killing out of it.
Yeah. I mean, Amut, we want the factories, but we are just drawing pies in the sky. We're talking about factories in every constituency, which we were not sold on, and we still have to see them show up. So we really have to ask these questions. We can barely make, like the famous words that I'm going to utilize again, we can barely manufacture our own underwear and toothpicks. So, in this fight for AI, really, we need to. I really need to know where the bills for data protection, cybersecurity are, because if Ministry of Finance and Bank of Namibia could champion and convert the old Electronic Devices Act into the Electronic Transactions Act, within a year. Not a 10-year negotiation situation of understanding why cybersecurity and data protection can't be together, why they are split, where are they, in whose office are they stuck, what's going... No! No, 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 no. But Namibians want to first go and debate about land. But they're giving away their data already. Nah, man. Nah. We really need to know how our ducks... are lined up.
No, for me, when it comes to AI, or basically a lot of tech discussions,
yeah,
the question I'll always ask is the same over and over again. Like I pointed out when we were talking about this Secretary General's 2026 priority speech, if you look into the world of governance, for example, the structure is well laid out.
Mm.
That this is how much divisions we're going to have in terms of leadership structure, and they're all going to be working together separately in a way to make sure because we don't want concentrated power, because concentrated power brings what? Well, abuse of that power.
Yeah.
So now, when someone in public office, this is the process in which someone is going to get to any public office. And the public must be involved for one to get to that public office. If there's any change in policies or regulation of any particular government or ministry or SOE, this is how much the public office are going to be involved to this extent.
Yeah.
Now, when you shift the role of that institution to a private institutions, you will have to change a lot of things, from how people rise to specific offices, to how policies are drafted, and the influence they have, and when people now have to complain, what is the chain of command that they have to follow? Otherwise, you're going to have a riot on your hands. So, when it comes to things of governance, that whole e-governance, yeah. Unless we have our own servers running on our own softwares, unless we have our own hardwares running on our own softwares, I personally would not recommend that.
And we have our own technology companies literally serving Namibian, then African needs. Because
if everything is with Mark Zuckerberg,
come on, guys. And the AGOA agreement is anyway going to be tailored according to Trump's liking at the end of this year. Come on, guys. We really need to be picking up our socks. Really, come on, guys. I mean, if Trump says in his statement, you know what, I feel that our trade partners need to do more. What can you as an African do more for America?
You know, the withdrawal from the Paris climate agreements.
Yeah.
Well,
and its related agreements.
Yeah, and other related agreements. I think when he was submitting those withdrawal documents back last year, I don't think a lot of people took him serious, but that's exactly what he did last month.
Yeah, at the start of January.
Yeah, I was like,
after 3 Jan.
Like, just say goodbye.
Yeah, and then the process formally happened.
Yeah, and because the formal process takes about a year.
Yeah, which was from last year.
From last year, January.
Yeah. So that now has happened. So now he goes and establishes Board of Peace. Board of Peace now is like, yeah, whatever we produce, you guys must just accept. Yeah.
Quick break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's 3 minutes past the hour of business and economic segment. This is a Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. From yours truly here, just wishing you a good Friday, and thank you for tuning in, and please do stay tuned for the next program, that's Business and Economic Segment with David. Take care. It's weekend, but, like Michael liked to say, don't do what I wouldn't do, but if you do it, name it after me.
That is so bad. But okay, yeah. Let's see each other again on Sunday, guys, or on Monday.